Somebody's here tonight. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to try to preach to you. I want to say I really appreciate the invitation to preach, the offer and everything. It really means a lot, Brother Darrell. It really does. I was telling my wife on the way here, I said, it don't even seem real that I'm going to preach for Brother Darrell. I've known him for years, and it just don't even seem real. And I'm honored, and I appreciate it. And before I get started, I want to encourage somebody right here. If you've got lost family, don't you ever give up, because God can turn things around, and you never see it coming. He could be working even when you don't know it. I was thinking about my life. I was a mess 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You'd have looked at me and you'd have said, there's no way that guy's ever going to be a preacher. There's no way that guy's ever going to come to church. He's ever going to get saved. But behind the scenes, God was dealing with my heart. God was pulling on my chain. And you know what? On June the 17th, on a Friday morning, God saved my soul and brought me back home. And I've been running ever since, and I love him. And I wouldn't take nothing for this journey. I wouldn't turn around. I wouldn't give nothing for what I got. I tell you, he's a healer. He is a healer. I'm a firm believer. I've seen miracle after miracle all my life. I was raised in church. I was raised around the church. But I experienced a miracle for myself, and I believe in miracles. Hallelujah. I had that alpha gal disease, tick bite. I couldn't eat nothing but chicken. The doctor said it's incurable. Can't never be cured. You're stuck with this. You just got to change your diet. Man, Brother Jake, I was so miserable. I was so sick. I suffered day and day after day after day after day. I got to praying for the Holy Ghost and during revival, and God baptized me in the Holy Ghost and healed me all at the same time. I said, God, I can't take this no more. Here I am. I got to have you, God. I don't want to miss my opportunity. I don't want to miss my miracle as it's walking by. I got to have you. And God stopped by and he touched me, and I thank him for it. Hallelujah. That wasn't nothing near my message, but I just felt like saying that and giving God the praise and the glory. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to be reading Hebrews chapter number 2. Hebrews chapter number 2. Again, we say thank you for everything, the opportunity. It means a lot. We love you guys. We really do. Brother Jake, me and him, like you said, me and him's been friends a long time. I've always been high in Brother Jake. Everywhere I go, I brag on him. He's been my best friend. He's been held in there through tough times and hard times. And I look up to him. I really do. I know I'm older than him, but he's still my hero. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter number 2. Says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I'm going to read that one more time. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And just for a few minutes here, I want to preach on this simple little thought, a stronger grip so you don't slip. Would you raise your hands to heaven and ask God to help us and anoint us here tonight?
God, I pray tonight, oh God. God, that you'd please come by, oh God, and help me, oh God. God, to deliver the burden of my heart, God, to help somebody tonight, God. Oh, Jesus, would you stop by tonight, God? Oh, God, help us tonight, God.
I don't know if you realize the importance of a grip. Your grip in your hand is so important in a daily life. In everything that we do, we use our grip. And I really didn't pay much attention to it until I got to study for this message. And this is how I felt like the Lord dealt with me to go here tonight, about the grip in your life, spiritually. But physically, the grip is so important. It's how you work. It's how you got here. You had to grip the steering wheel. You had to grip the gear shift to put it in gear to get to church tonight. It's how you hold your children. It's how you function in a daily life. Doctors say that the grip strength is one of the best indicators of overall strength and health. It's connected to the wrist, the forearm, the shoulder, and the core stability. Oh, hallelujah. If you lose your grip, they say you get unstable. If you lose your grip, you're at a greater risk to fall. You're at a greater risk for injury because you lost your grip. You simply don't have a grip on this thing anymore. You ever go to fall, and the first thing you do is you try to catch something. And if you can get a grip on it and you've got strength, you can catch yourself before you fall. That's how you sturdy yourself, you'll get a grip on it. Hallelujah. When you start losing your grip, you lose freedoms to do things in life. You lose the ability to do things. And if you go to the doctor and you ain't got good grip strength, they'll give you one of these things right here. And that's made to strengthen your grip. You may only be able to do it 25 times one week, but if you keep working on it and you keep working your grip, later on you're going to be able to do it. Next time you may do it 30, you may do it 35, you may do it 40, but eventually you're going to get the strength back in your hands and in your arms to hold on to this thing. Hallelujah. And that's what I felt like right here. When I got saved, man, I tell you, I was a wretched, no good for nothing. I don't know why, looking at the mess I was in, I say all the time, God, I don't know why you took time to deal with me, because I was a wreck, I was a mess. But I tell you what he did, he threw out the lifeline in the mud hole that I was in that night. He threw out the lifeline to me when I was sinking in sin, when I was going under for the last time. I felt like the devil tearing my life up. And I grabbed a hold of that rope when he threw me the lifeline. And I tell you what he did. He gave me a grip to hold on to this thing. And I've been holding on for 3 years now. A little over 3 years. And the devil's tried every way he could to make me lose my grip. To make me let go of what God gave me. To get me to turn around. If you lose your grip on this thing, it ain't going to be long. You'll be back in the same place you came from. If you lose your grip on the salvation that you got, it ain't going to be very few days. You'll be face first right back down in that hog lot again. And I tell you, I've been having to work on my grip strength ever since I got saved. The devil's tried time after time after time. He can't stand you having a grip on this thing. He can't stand it. He'll try everything he can to get you to give up. Because if he knows he can get to victory over you, he'll take your hope. He'll take your hope for tomorrow. He'll take your joy. He'll take your peace right out of your life. You'll be so burdened down and bogged down in your mind and so defeated. If he can just get you to loosen up your grip. Don't let the devil lie to you and discourage you with things and situations and tell you that this ain't worth holding on to. This ain't worth going forward with. You might as well turn around and give up. You know how many times I've heard that, Brother Darrell, in the 3 years I've been saved? The devil ain't nothing but a liar. I got saved on a Friday morning at youth camp. I was 29 years old. And the devil said, you'll never live to see 30. You're going to die is what you're going to do. You'll never make it to see 30. Well, just a few months later, I turned 30. And I got to praying and I was digging in and the devil showed back up. I drove down the parkway one day, and I passed the youth camp over there. And the devil said, you'll never live to make it back to that hill again. You're going to die. You ain't never going to survive this thing that long. You're going to give up. You're going to turn around. I'm going to take you out of this thing. Well, it's been 3 years, and I'm here tonight to tell you the devil's a liar. You don't got to turn around. You don't got to give up. You don't got to lose your grip on this thing. You can hold on if you want to hold on. Gotta hold you. Gotta keep you. Hallelujah. I recruited me a little help here tonight. You want to help me, Brother Jake? Come here, Bradley. I hope it's all right. This is how I felt like doing this. Hallelujah. All right, here we go. I'm going to use this right here. This is how we are right here, I feel like. This is how I felt in prayer. I'm going to use Jake as God. He's thrown out the lifeline, And Brantley here, as a Christian, has grabbed a hold, and he's holding on to this thing. And we're on our way to heaven. He's got a grip on that rope, and we're making it to heaven. But here the devil stops by, and he tries to trick us, and he tries to get us to let go. Because he can't stand this right here. He can't stand where we're going and where we're going to make it to. So he'll show up in life. And he knows if he can get you to hold on to one thing, it ain't long that he's going to get you to get another one. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, the first distraction that he'll show up may be your job. He'll work you to death. He'll work you through church. He'll work you through the days that you should be praying. You'll work overtime instead of being at the house of God. Oh, God, help me, Lord. Hallelujah. He'll distract you with everything he can, and he'll just, if you take one, he'll keep piling more on, I promise you. Depression. He'll give you some depression. He'll hold on to that right there. Don't you drop that depression. He'll burden your mind down and bog your mind down so great. Well, if you hold on to that, and he'll give you another one. There's your TV. My God, I hope nobody here's got a TV. This is a hole in the church, Brother Darrell. Brother Darrell still preaches on TV, and just because he preaches on TV don't mean you can go get you a Netflix account and say, I don't got a TV. Hallelujah. Don't you get you a TV, especially after I preach this. Hallelujah. Well, boyfriend, girlfriend, my God, if he'll give you one of them that pull you in the wrong direction, if they ain't pulling you this way, friend, they're dragging you out the other way. I tell you, I'd get me a new one. I'd cut the rope off that relationship, and I'd stick with God, because God ain't never done you nothing but good. No matter what the world says, what these boys and these girls have to offer, it ain't worth it. Hallelujah. Wrong friend, you'll hang out with the wrong crowd. He'll give you everything. My God, I've had some wrong friends in my life, and I've had to cut the ties off of it. Because they're constantly trying to pull you the wrong direction. Compromise, he'll give you a little compromise to hold on to. Now you hold on to all these and don't you drop them. And you try to hold on to that rope. Don't you drop that rope. Don't you drop what God gave you. The wrong music, man, I tell you, he'll give you the wrong music and that'll plant a seed down in your heart. I tell you, I've been there. I was a teenager. And I let that get a hold of me and drag me across the country because I let it grow inside of my heart. Hallelujah. Hopelessness. You'll feel hopelessness. You'll feel like you can't go on. Jealousy. You'll be jealous of one another. I tell you, Brother, we got 3-4 young preachers in the church, and the devil loved for me to be jealous of one of them. The devil's warned me one night at a church. I called one. I said, hey, I love you, and I ain't got nothing against you, and I hope you love me too. I said, the devil's wearing my mind out that there's something between us, and I want to fix it because I don't want to lose this thing. Anxiety, he'll give you anxiety. Man, I tell you, anxiety ain't nothing but the devil. I tell you it is because God delivered me from it. Man, he'll bog your mind down so great with anxiety. I had a backslid holiness preacher tell me one time he's on anxiety medicine. Hallelujah. I said, man, why do you take that stuff? He said, Bill, I'll tell you what. He said, it numbs me, and I could care less for anything. He said, I don't care for nothing. He said, I could watch a dog get run over in the road, and I'd laugh about it. And I thought, my, here we are with ones in the choir, some of the preachers. Oh, God. It's on this stuff, and they're so numb to the Spirit of God. They're so numb to the ways of God, and he'll get you to hold on to this. There's you some lust to hold on to, pride to hold on to, envy to hold on to, social media to hold on to. Man, he'll distract you with every kind of social media. If you spend more time scrolling than you do praying, friend, you need to check yourself because you're going to eventually start slipping on this thing. You're going to lose your grip on this thing. Fear, he'll load you down with fear. He'll trouble your mind so great with fear that you can't even sleep at night. I'm telling you, he will. Bitterness. He'll plant bitterness in your heart. He'd love nothing else but to divide a church with bitterness and to get you to turn around. Bitterness is a seed you don't want, I promise you. It'll grow into a big plant one day, and it'll take over your heart and over your life. But I tell you what, you get a grip on this and you're trying to hold on and you're trying to hold all of this, and eventually you see it's just slipping. You don't have your grip on this thing like you really need it. You don't have a grip on this like you one time had, and you can't figure out, God, why ain't I getting the blessings I used to get? Why ain't I feeling you like I used to feel you? Why ain't I doing the things I used to do? And here you are. I was praying today, and all I could see was somebody burdened down, burdened over, trying to hold on to everything the devil's piled on top of you, trying to hold on to everything and carry this thing and keep marching. But I come to tell you tonight, the Bible said that he wouldn't put no more on you than you're able to bear. He still got you, friend. He ain't never left you. He's still holding you. Oh, God. What's that verse in Matthew say? I've gone blank on it. But I'm going to tell you this. I heard this story. And it said this man and his little boy was hiking up a mountain trail, and there's a cliff on the side, and he said that at first the little boy got scared and he grabbed his daddy's hand, and he's holding his daddy's hand. He didn't want to fall, but like children do, he got comfortable in the position that he's in. He let go and he started skipping across the rocks. He started jumping and just acting foolish, and finally he fell. And right as he was fixing to slide over the cliff, his dad grabbed him by the wrist, and that little boy grabbed a hold of his dad, and the gravel gave way underneath him, and he started slipping. And he looked up and he said, "Daddy, I'm slipping." And the story said his dad grabbed a hold of him a little bit tighter and said, "Son, don't you fear, because I got you." I said, "He's got you, friend." But the thing about that story that stuck out the most to me was that little boy could have slipped and went on over the edge if he had not realized and said, "Dad, I'm slipping. I'm losing my grip on this thing, and I'm going to fall if you don't help me." My God. And that's how it is, friend. If you just cry out to him, if you just ask him for help, he's here to help you. He's here to give you your grip back. You know what it is? Every time you go to prayer, every time you get down, you say, "God, would you help me with this? I can't take it anymore." He'll start pulling them back from you. "God, this burden's so great, I can't hardly bear it. I can't stand it anymore, God. I'm losing my grip. I ain't going to make it, God, if you don't touch me." Every time you get your Bible down, he'll take another one. Every time he sees you being faithful to the house of God, he'll take another one. Well, you go pray, you feel a little bit better, but you're still holding on to a few. Oh, God. You're still trying to hold on to just a few that you don't want to let go of, but you can't get back to where you was at. You still feel it slipping. So you go back again. "God, would you help me one more time? God, would you help me?" And he'll take another one. He'll take another one. You just keep praying, friend. You just keep pushing, friend. Don't you give up. You keep coming back. It may feel like things ain't never changing. It may feel like it's never going to turn around for you. But don't you give up. He'll take another one. And eventually you got your grip back on this thing, and you won't let go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't you lose your grip. I tell you what, he'll try to make you lose your grip, and he'll try to make you turn around. He'll discourage you. Man, I tell you, I went through the discouragingest time when I was seeking for the Holy Ghost. The devil said, "You ain't worthy of it. You're never going to get it." God got to dealing with my heart. Wanted to lay some things down. Wanted to agree to his way, not my way, but God's way. I felt the calling on my life to preach, and I wanted to run from it, Brother Jake. I didn't want to do it. I ain't a people person. I ain't one to get up here like this. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I couldn't do it. But I got the feeling him wanting to do something with my life. And I was trying to hold on to everything and hold on to God at the same time. And I had to make the decision. I got to lay some of this down, and I got to hold on to God, what's going to keep me and what's going to help me. There ain't nothing in this world worth turning loose of this thing for. Nothing in this world worth going back for. If I tell you, the greatest testimony is never leaving the house of God. Don't you ever turn around if you've never backslid. Don't ever do it. Because I tell you, it'll leave you with scars that you never thought you'd have. It'll take you places you said you'd never go. But I want to encourage somebody. Don't you lose your grip on this thing. God's got this. It ain't over yet. I know it feels like it ain't never going to change. It ain't never going to get no better. But God's got this thing. He ain't done yet. You ever look at something when they first start building it, you pull up and it's just a concrete slab. You think, man, this ain't never going to be nothing right here. I can't see the picture of what it's going to be. But you give it a little while and the walls start going up and the roof goes on and the windows go in. Things start changing. It starts looking just a little bit different. The situation will start looking a little bit better. That's how it works in our life. We can't understand it in the moment that we're in. We can't understand it in the situation that we're in. God, why is this never changing? Why? Don't you hear me when I pray? Don't you see right where I'm at in this situation? But I tell you, friend, God's working on it even when you don't see it. Even when you can't feel it, God's working on it.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you, God wants you to hold on to this thing. He really does. Oh, God. I ain't a very long-winded preacher, Brother Darrell. I'm going to finish up here. I'm about done. But 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Yeah. Hold on, friend, to that's good. Hold on to truth. Hold on to goodness. When everybody else is compromising, when everybody else is turning around and giving up, all your friends is doing it. I've been there. I've had the worldly friends. They've done some things and I said, hey, I can't go there. I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't give up on what I got just for a little bit of fun, just for a little bit of time. Yeah, you may lose some friends over it, but I tell you, God's the greatest friend you could ever ask for. I had one guy tell me, he said, man, when you got saved, you changed. I said, you're absolutely right. I sure did, and I'm so thankful that I changed, and I ain't like I used to be. I ain't running the places that I used to go because I got a grip on this thing. Hold fast to your faith. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he that is faithful that promised. Don't you give up on your faith. The devil loved to discourage you in your faith and get you to turn around. He'd love to discourage you in the faith that God ain't working, that God ain't moving. I got a little brother, and I think about most of everybody know him. Man, I had a burden for that guy. I've prayed for that guy. I've invited to church. I've done everything I could do. And it seems like the more I try and the harder I pray, the more I beg God, the harder he gets, Brother Darrell. Seems like the farther he gets, the more comments he makes. I ain't coming to church. I ain't never going to do it. And I tell you what, that'll test your faith right there is what that'll do. But don't you let go, because I was in that position one time. I was right there. I had a wife and a mother and a father and in-laws and a whole host of people across the United States that was a praying for me when I looked like a hopeless situation, when I looked like a hopeless mess. Don't lose your faith. Hold fast to the word. Philippians 2:16 says, holding forth the word of life, that ye may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not ran in vain, neither labored in vain. Having a grip on God's word makes the scripture stick through your heart. It'll put a spirit inside of you that you'll want to grip a hold of this eternal life, the word of life that God has provided. Hold fast to Christ. Revelation 2:25 says, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. Hold fast till I come. I tell you, you ain't never going to see the end of this thing that you've started If you let go now, if you let go and you give up on this thing, you ain't never going to see the end of it. Jesus said, hold fast till I come. He's on his way, friend. He's on his way. I believe he's coming back sooner than anybody realizes. This world can't keep going in the shape it's in. It can't keep going in the direction that it's in. Hold fast. Jesus is coming. The devil knows if he can get you to let go, if he can get you to lose your grip, you don't. When you lose your grip, you don't finish what you started. You let go. You fall to the wayside. Oh, God. I like what that song said. It said, I got the victory over the enemy, and this world can't do me no harm. You know why you're able to sing, I got the victory? Because you got a grip on this thing. Because you're still holding on to what God has promised you. That's a burden on my heart tonight. I could just see in my spiritual mind today in prayer, Brother Darrell, somebody just burdened over, somebody trying to hold on to all of it. But I wanted to encourage you tonight. I wanted to come and just encourage somebody to be a help and to be an encouragement. Don't you let go. Lay off some of the weights and get a stronger grip. God is here to help you. I got this verse here. I had it marked. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I got to looking that up today. It means that come unto me if you're burdened, if you're weighed down, if you feel like you got more on you than you're able to carry, and he'll start pulling some of these things off of you. He'll make that load a little bit lighter. I've been there when I felt like I couldn't make another step. I felt like I had to just pop up on something to even keep standing, Brother Darrell. But I tell you, he came by. I kept marching. I kept running. And he came by right in the nick of time and started pulling these weights off and gave me strength to stand back up. Oh, hallelujah. I'm done, Brother Darrell. That's the burden of my heart tonight. I wanted to encourage the young people. I've been there. I've been a young person before. Times get tough. The devil will discourage you in everything he can. He'll try every way he can to get you to turn around. He won't stop until he finds one way to get you. But you got to keep holding on to this thing. Don't you give up. Don't you turn around. Don't you let go. You started this thing to finish it. You didn't start it to give up. You started it to see it through. I've never started anything in my life with the intentions of quitting. We get to playing ball. Me and these boys, we play ball together many times. I can't stand to lose. I didn't leave the house and drive across town to drive to a gym and run up and down the floor not to at least try and not to at least give it everything I got. And that's how I felt right here. I didn't put this suit coat on. I didn't drive across town to church tonight to see somebody give up, to not put in the effort to get somebody to hold on, to not get somebody to give up. So I wanted to encourage you. You don't got to turn around. You don't got to give up. God's on your side. The church is on your side. You can keep running. You can keep holding in the midst of the storm. When everything around you is sinking, when everything around you is falling apart, don't you give up. You hold on. God's right on the other side of this thing.
Come on to the piano, if you will. Praise God, going to sing. And I'll tell you, I believe the Lord is talking to us. And I want you to just say, Lord, if for some things in my life I need to let go, I'm willing to let it go. But, Lord, I surely want to increase my grip upon the things of God and the work of God. Come on. Come to the piano, if you will. Excellent preaching tonight. Praise God. I'm glad the Lord's talking to us, aren't you? Can anybody tell me what verse I preached from Sunday night? Praise God. Now, there's 66 books in that Bible. I don't know how many chapters and verses are in there, But what is the chance of a preacher coming behind another preacher reading the same verse out of the same book and preaching a message, praise God, aiming us in the same direction? What is the chance of that? It's not coincidence, folks. If you can't see the hand of God in that, praise God, then you need to, you need your vision cleared, because God is really talking to somebody in this church tonight. Don't let other things cause you to lose your grip on God. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled away from God. Come, you ready to sing, if you will? Praise God. Yeah, I can take a spell and preach right here, but I'm not going to. Hallelujah. I feel good enough. I got enough stuff running through my head to say, but I just feel like I need to make an altar call. And somebody in this house needs to say, God, I'm getting distracted with all these things. And Lord, it's causing me to lose my hold upon the things of God. But I'm going to recommit my life. I'm going to surrender all of me to God. Remember that story about that Indian boy as we get ready to come and pray? Come under that tent. He brought his tomahawk up to the altar. He laid that tomahawk on the altar and said, Indian, give God tomahawk. Nothing happened. Next night he brought his bow and arrow. Brought it up and laid it on the altar. Say, Indian, give God bow and arrow. Nothing happened. Next night, he walked his horse in another tent. Brought it up to the altar and say, Indian, give God horse. Nothing happened. Next night, he come up the front empty handed. And he said, Indian, give God Indian. And he got saved. Hallelujah. That's all God wants. He wants you. Would you come? Praise God. Something hindering you. Something gathering in your life. Amen. That's turning you aside. Drawing your attention away from God. You need to come. We all need to come. Woo! And she gets ready to sing. The psalmist said it so well. And we're going to pray. Said. He said these words, I am distracted. Are you distracted? Let's all come. I feel like making an altar call. I feel good enough to say on and on and on, but I think we need to pray. I think you need to take